Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. As we finish, as we are Messiah, Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach, Masechta Shabbos, we begin the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amibayis. Teaches us the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins with a halacha we've discussed many times. We've discussed Hilchos Muksa. We've discussed Hilchos Muksa many times in our shurim, we always mention that there's a machloikus, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Behuda Rav Shimon discuss how far we take Hilchos Muksa, as we've discussed numerous times. Rabbi Yehuda has a stricter version, a stricter view towards Hilchos Muksa. Rav Shimon has a more lenient view. Teaches us the Mishnah, Mechatchen esadaluin lefnei behema. We're allowed to cut up the cucumbers, the pumpkins that are disconnected from the ground before an animal on Shabbos, even though at the beginning of Shabbos, this cucumber was designated for use for food for human being. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that if it was designated for human consumption, and now we want to serve it to an animal, we now have an issue of muksa. Rav Shimon, however, takes the more lenient approach. He said, just because it was designated for human consumption, it doesn't become muksa, and it may be consumed by a animal as well. And that's why the Mishnah passing like Rav Shimon, that you could use this, you could cut this off for an animal's eating. Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi, both learn that we're referring to cucumbers that were not connected to the ground. And the only issue is a muksa shaila, is the fact that it was originally designated for human consumption make it muksa if I now want to use it for animal consumption. Rashi, however, in Masechta Beya, has a different version of different interpretation of this machlokes. And Rashi Masechta Beya that Beis Amin Aleph, the very maskul mechatchim, is not that this is not connected to the machlokes that we've been discussing in Hilchos Muksa of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And the question is, a yontif question, is it permissible to cut on yontif these cucumbers for animal feed on yontif? That's their discussion. But as I said, most explain that this is a muksa question. Similarly, we're passing like Rabbi Shimon, that we're allowed to cut up a nevela fnei klovim. If this animal, again, bein hashmosus, we were assuming that this animal will be used for human consumption. Then the animal died on Shabbos. It became a nevela. Obviously, it's not fit anymore for human consumption, but it could be used for animal consumption. So again, according to Rav Shimon, doesn't make a difference. It wouldn't be muksa. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, since at the beginning of Shabbos it was designated for human consumption, then on Shabbos, if it dies and now it's only fit for animal consumption, it's muksa. So I saw that Ritva asks, we need to understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So if we have a piece of bread, piece of challah, which is meant to be eaten by human beings, and then for Shabbos you want to feed that challah to an animal, does that mean that you would not be allowed to do so because it's muksa? So the Ritva answers that we're referring to a situation that something changed. If you have a piece of challah that is indeed meant to be eaten by human beings, and Shabbos you feed that challah to the animal, you didn't need to do anything to change that animal to make it edible to you, to animals. But since you didn't do anything to make it change to be edible, the halacha is that it's not muksa. However, by the animal that died, the example that we just learned, so it had to die, it had to become to become an animal food. Or the deluim, he explains, became hardened. And because they became hardened, they weren't any more fit for human consumption. That's why Rabbi Yehuda will hold it's muksa. But if nothing physically changes in the food, of course, food that's human food doesn't mean that you can't serve it to an animal. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Emlhoi Halois in the Veil of Shabbos. If this animal wasn't in the Veil of Shabbos, a surah, it may not be moved, for as we explained, Lefisha Enemen Amuchin, if it's muksa, if it becomes animal food on Yontif. Itma, Oral Shocha Simen, Amma Ula, Halacha, Krib Yehuda. Ula paskins that when we have this discussion about Hilchas Muksa, the Halacha is like Krib Yehuda that has the stricter view of Hilchas Muksa. Vaf Rav, Sava, Halacha, Krib Yehuda. And Rav also says the Gemara, Hel like Krib Yehuda. Where do we see this? Midakakri de Zuzi, there were different mats that were used to cover merchandise that was transported on a ship. The Rav Osir, Rav did not allow them to be moved on Shabbos. V'Shmuel Shari, Rav held that the muksa. In other words, according to Yehuda, since these mats were used to cover the merchandise on the boats, they weren't designated for another purpose, so they're muksa if you want to use it for a different purpose. Rav Shimon, as we've been learning, is not that strict. And Rav Shimon holds that as long as it's usable, even if it's not the use that it's typically used for, it's not going to be muksa. And that's why these mats were subject of a machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. Vaf Levi, Savakar Yehuda, says the Gemara, the Levi also concurs with the opinion of Yehuda. Kiyar the Levi have a maisa trefsel kamei biyontif. Levi, if there was a shayla on a treif on yontif, he would not check it. Right, only if he sat right next to the garbage can. So if it'll be treif, it could be immediately deposited there. Doma, because as Levi said, I'll find that the animal is not kosher. And since it was originally designated for human consumption, it may not be used now for animal consumption. The opinion that would keep on citing the opinion of Yehuda. So I want to have it right next to the garbage pail that I could deposit it there if it turns out to be muksa. So the Sefer Chayk Yaakov, in fact, asks a question, discusses a shayla, that if somebody has food that is a question on Pesach, if it's chametz or not, and he's taking the food to a rav to look at it, and the rav paskins that it's chametz, he should immediately drop it, because, as Al Gemara said, if it's chametz, it's muksa, and muksa may not be moved on Shabbos and Yontif. The Eli Rabba, however, quotes the Magen Avraham and Simon Shinches. We've quoted this Magen Avraham previously as well, who says that if somebody is holding muksa, the halacha is you could once you're holding it, you could carry it to wherever you need to carry it. However, that here, it's a different situation. Here, we're talking about chametz. And chametz, obviously, we have to be stricter when we speak about Hilchas Chametz, and chametz and Pesach, we're not allowed to hold chametz. That's why he was stricter. But that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what we're discussing in our Shaila. And in fact, the Shaila of Chuvas Shaila Meshiv says that if somebody comes to a Rav on Shabbos Yontif with an object, with a Shaila, he should not paskin till, and he thinks that it's not, that it's muksa or whatever, he should be careful not to paskin, says the Shaila Meshiv, until he gives it back to the person who came with the Shaila. Why should he do so? Because once he gives it back to the person, then the halacha is that that person could continue carrying it till wherever he needs to go, but and deposit it wherever he wants to deposit it. But if the Rav is going to be holding it, then the Rav is going to have to immediately drop it. And therefore, to avoid such a problem, he should first give it back to that person. And after he gives it back to the person, then and only then should he issue his psak. Continues the Gemara, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel Aver Paskins, Halach Krib Shimon. The halacha is like Reb Shimon, the lenient version of Hilchas Muksa. Says the Gemara, Va'af Ziri sub halacha Reb Shimon. So did Ziri Paskin, the Tanan, the Mishnah Masech the Bayit of Chav Zayin on the base teaches us. Behemish Shemesa, if an animal died on Yontif, the halacha is like Yuzuzenim and Mekaymai, you may not move it on because it's also betiltal. The Tirgum is the Ira, and Ziri explained why may you not move it. Because we're talking about behemoth kachim. We're talking about animals that were kachim. Aval, bechulin, and echulin animals. And the halacha is that kachim that died are osu b'hano. And since they're osu b'hano, you have to leave them there. Av behemoth chulin, if the animal was chulin, there, shapadami, they may be moved because the halacha is like Reb Shimon. Vaf, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Halacha Reb Shimon, so too, the Rabbi Yochanan say the halacha is like Reb Shimon. So the question that Tosfos asks, the Gemara tells us now that Shmuel Amar Halacha Reb Shimon. Ask Tosfos in Divrei Maskil Shmuel that we already learned in the previous piece of Gemara that Shmuel paskins like Reb Shimon. So why, that's why he allowed them to move the Machzalos. So why does he have to mention it again? So Tosfos answers, there was a different type of muksa, because the machzolos were muksa machmas mias. Here we're talking about animals. Animals are muksa machmas iser. And therefore, just because Shmuel was lenient by muksa machmas mias, doesn't mean he would necessarily be lenient by muksa machmas iser, and that's why it had to be mentioned that way. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi asked the Gemara, did Rabbi Yochanan indeed paskin like Reb Shimon? From Rabbi Yochanan, we have a rule throughout Shas that Rabbi Yochanan always says halacha kastam mishnah, because as we explain, the fact that Rebbe, when he composed the Mishnah, said it anonymously, is clearly an indication that that's what Rebbe meant to paskin like, and he didn't want to limit himself to a certain psak. Because if he was going to limit himself to a certain Tana, then people will say, well, that's only the opinion of that Tana. But we clearly see that Rabbi Yochanan holds all over, we paskin like a Stam Mishnah. And there's a Stam Mishnah, as the Gemara, that follows the opinion of Yehuda. Because the Mishnah says, in Masech Debeya, E mevakim, we may not chop woods, we may not chop on yontav wood, Benakiris, from beams that were designated for building. Since they were designated for building, they are muksa. And anything that's designated for building is muksa, may not be used for another purpose. Furthermore, the halacha is, v'loy menakiris shenizbar b'yontif, if a beam broke on yontif, and it could only now be used for firewood, since abein shmoshes, it was designated for building, so it remains muksa, and can't be used for another purpose. Whose opinion is that? That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And since we see here that we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, it's clearly an indication that Rabbi Yochanan will paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, hahu k'Rabbi Yosef Yehuda masnalai. Rabbi Yochanan did not view that Mishnah as a Stam Mishnah. Rather, he said that it was the opinion of Yosef Yehuda, and therefore it's not a Stam Mishnah. So ask Tosfos Masech Debeya on that base of a base, the Ramaskal Ein, that this halacha, that you're not allowed to chop wood that was set aside for building, even Rav Shimon will agree to. Because wood that was designated for building is Muksa Machmas Chasaron Kis. And Rav Shimon agrees that Muksa Machmas Chasaron Kis is Muksa. So Tosfos asks, how's this a raya that we paskin like Reb Shimon, like we paskin like Reb Yehuda, where Reb Shimon can agree with that pshat as well? So Tosfos over there answers that since we see that this was broken on Yontif, they were probably not in great shape from before Yontif, and since they weren't probably in great shape before Yontif, he was assuming that they may break on Yontif, so therefore it's not considered Muksa Machmas Chasaron Kis. And in fact, Rashi says Ru'ua, and since it's Ru'ua, then it's a raya that he was expecting it to perhaps break, and that's why Rav Shimon doesn't consider it muksa machmas sarin kis. Tashma. So we have a different stam mishnah, asked the Gemara, that seems to point in the direction of Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is maschilim barimus tevin. You have a pile of straw that usually was used for fuel purposes, that you could take that straw and use it on yontif. Avaloi beitzim shebemuksa. If you have in your backyard wood and you didn't intend to use that wood for firewood on yontif, that the halacha is you can't use that wood on yontif. So you see that something that wasn't designated before yontif may not be used on yontif. Clearly, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, Hossam, that Mishnah is referring to Arzei Vashuchei, very expensive wood, the Muksumach Chsaron Kis. Since it's very expensive wood, it's Muksumach Chsaron Kis, and as we just said, even Rav Shimon agrees that Muksumach Chsaron Kis is Muksa and may not be used on Yontif, because I feel Rav Shimon might have. Toshma. There's another Mishnah in Masech Tebeit, Daf Mem Amud Aleph. The halacha is a mashkin v'shoichtim hamidborius. In those days, as we've discussed previously, before they would shecht an animal, they would give it to drink because it was easier to skin the animal when it was moist. The halacha is that they had animals that were midborius. The animals that went out to pasture out of the city, those animals that went out to pasture out of the city, so they're muksa because nobody assumes that they're going to come into the city, that they will be available to shecht on yontif. Ava machtav shecht on sabaisis, the animals that are close to home, there you can't shecht on yontif because you're thinking about them. So you see clearly that the Mishnah, a stam Mishnah, is subscribing to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan stam achrona eshkach. Rabbi Yochanan found a different stam Mishnah that points in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Because as we know throughout Shas, whenever we have a machloikus beishamei beisil, we paskin like beisil. So we're going to find a Mishnah that Beis Hillel follows the opinion of Reb Shimon, that will become the halacha. Because a psak, a Beis Hillel, explained the Mefarshim, is equivalent to a Stam Mishnah. So we're going to find a psak of Beis Hillel, like Reb Shimon, will have the equivalent of a Stam Mishnah. And we learned the Mishnah earlier on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, Beshamay Amrim, Magbiim Al Shulchan Tzomus VaKlipin, we may remove from the table the bones, the peels, even though they're muksa, because at the beginning of Shabbos they were food, they weren't peels. Beisil Amrim, Beisil say, since they're muksa, we may not touch them directly. What we have to do is Mesalik as a tavlam kula manara, pick up the entire table, pick up the entire board and shake off the muksa. Don't touch it that way. So when we learned the Mishnah, we immediately said that this Mishnah seems to be saying that Beis Hillel is more machmer. Beis Hillel follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Shammai follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. But then we learned the Gemara of Nachman taught us right away. Anu ein lanu ela. We know that Beis Shammai Rabbi Yehuda. Beis Shammai follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. However, Beis Hillel follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So again, we clearly see that that Beis Hillel follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan will follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So, as we finish this piece of Gemara, the Gemara wants to discuss who do we paskin like. Says the Gemara, Pligibol Rav Acha Ravina. Chanamar once says, B'chol HaShabbos Kula, whenever we have a question in Hilchos Shabbos, as we've learned this Masechta, we've had so many machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon, halach Rabbi Shimon, the halach is like Rabbi Shimon, levar, except for muksa machmas mias. There we follow, like Rabbi Yehuda, that muksa machmas mias is considered muksa. So where do we have these machloikas? One case is Stam Muksa, the case that we've been discussing in our shiur today, where at the beginning of Shabbos, the certain item was designated for one purpose, and then on Shabbos you want to use it for a different purpose, Rav Shimon allows you, Rav Yehuda does not allow you. Another case, where Shabbos, at the beginning of Shabbos, it was usur to use the item, and then during Shabbos that issa fell away. According to Rav Yehuda, Migad is katsoil ben ashmoshes is katsoil kula yoima. According to Rav Shimon, if you expected that the muksa designation, the issa designation, would fall off on Shabbos, it's not muksa. Next example is muksa machum smiyas. According to Rav Yehuda, it's muksa. According to Rav Shimon, it's not muksa. We also had in our Masechta the machlokes of Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon regarding a dover sheinu miskaven, where what you did was not what you intended, again, when it wasn't a psik reisha. According to Rav Yehuda, that's osur. According to Rav Shimon, it's mutter. Another place where we had a machloikus in Hilchos Shabbos was melacha shena tzrich legufa. You did a melacha, so Rashi always explains melacha shena tzrich legufa. You only did it in reaction to a certain situation that you are facing. Tosfos explains that is when you're not doing the melacha for a constructive purpose. You're only doing it because you have to do it, but you're not creating something. Where, again, Rabbi Yehuda holds Yechayiv, melacha shena tzricha legufa, Rabbi Shimon is lenient. The next place we had a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, was mekalkel b'chabura b'havara. If you made a chabura, or you put on a fire on Shabbos, and it's a destructive act. Actually, there Rabbi Shimon is machmer, and Rabbi Yehuda is lenient. So says the Gemara, the halacha always follows Rabbi Shimon, chutz mi muksa machmas mias, except for the case of muksa machmas mias, and certainly explain the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ran, by muksa machmas chasar and kiss. There we're going to follow the opinion of Reb Yehuda as well, and also muksa machmas iser, as long as the iser is still there. My nihu, what is the example of a muksa machmas mias? Says the Gemara, ner yoshin, an old candle that was made out of cheres becomes mias, and the halach is you're not allowed to move it, even if you didn't use it that Shabbos. The Charomer, and a different opinion is that a muksa machmas mias, nami halach Reb Shimon. Even by muksa machmas mias, the halacha is like Reb Shimon. Levar mi muksa machmas iser. Something that was iskatsoi ben ashmoshes, like the candelabra that we always speak about, the lit candelabra ben ashmoshes, that there we say, migad iskatsoi ben ashmoshes, iskatsua the kula yoima. My niru, ner shadlika by Bais Shabbos, the halacha is that it's muksa. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, in Simon Shin Yud Ches, Sifkot and Ches, that why do we paskin by Muksa Machmas Issa like Rabbi Yehuda? Because what we learned earlier in the Masechta, Dachya B'Yadayim, if you specifically remove this from being used on Shabbos, there we're much more Machmer. So if we took this candelabra that you were Dachya B'Yadayim, that's why that you use the lighting it on Shabbos, it's muksa. Muksa machson kiss, says the Gemara, when we have muksa machson kiss, I feel Rav Shimon Moide, even Rav Shimon will agree that that is muksa. The Tanan, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, Daf Kuf Chav Gimel on the base, call HaKelim Litolim B'Shabbos, we may move all types of Kelim on Shabbos, Chutz V'Masra HaGodl, the big saw that they used to chop trees, Yesed Shamachrisha, or something they used to use for plowing. These were expensive items, and since they were expensive items, people didn't use them for any other purpose. And therefore, they become Muksa Machmas Chasarin Kiss. There's also Machloikis, Reb Shimon and Yehuda, as we discussed, Klisha Malach Del Isser, we allow to move Letzar Kufa Mekaimai. That's the halacha, and it's not clear. And it's not clear that Reb Yehuda would agree to that leniency. We begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the last mishnah of the Masechta. If somebody makes a neder, So you could have that nether annulled in one of two ways. If a daughter who's between the age of 11 and 12 and a half, or a makes a nether, or a wife makes a nether, her husband, her father, may do hafara. Nishalim nedarim, that means the father or the husband can be made for the nether and null it. Nishalim nedarim is that we go to the Rav and say that we have shameless nedarim, that if we would have known, we would have never made the nether. The halacha is that mefim nedarim b'Shabbos, a husband, a father, can be made for nedarim on Shabbos, the nishalim nedarim. And we may be shoyl neder. However, the condition has to be kishahein l'tzorich Shabbos. Of course, there's a fundamental difference between the far of a husband and the shayla to a rav. When a father is made for the neder, it's only from now on that neder is annulled. And moreover, the father or the husband only have the dinner b'yom shamay, the day that they hear, which we'll discuss in the Gemara. Shayla to the chacham could be even longer, but it uproots the neder from the beginning. Why is the halacha that you may not do this on Shabbos? So some say because of mimtza cheftzacha, and some say because of uvdin dechol. What would be the nafkamina? So the Prima Gadim says the nafkamina would be if the nether, as we just said, we could only do this if it's a nether of tzorich Shabbos. What would be if it's a nether of mitzvah? So if the reason is mimtza cheftzacha v'loy cheftza shamayim, so here, if it's a cheftzei shemayim, we would be allowed to do it. If the issue is it's like a dentire, if it's of the dechol, it wouldn't make a difference what type of a nether it is. The Mishnah uses the word v'nishalim. Why is the Mishnah use the word nishalim? Because when you go to the Rav, he asks you all sorts of different questions before to determine if he can be mat the nether. And therefore it says the word nishalim because he has to be able to ask all the different types of question. So the question that many Rishonim already ask is that we know that we begin Yom Kippur by saying Kol Nidre is Hataras Nedarim. And the question is, how can we say Hataras Nedarim? We just learned that Hataras Nedarim is Asur on Shabbos. And therefore, indeed, the Ramah says that one should be careful to say Kol Nidre before night. So it's not yet Yontif, and that's why we're saying Kol Nidre. Others say that Kol Nidre, what's the issue? As we just learned, the issue is Nisholim, to have this dialogue with the Rav. But when we say Kol Nidre, we're just making a statement. Since we're only making a statement, it's not like a regular Hataras Nedarim. And since it's not like a regular Hataras Nedarim, that's why we could be more lenient. There's no Nishalim. Rabbi Tam, however, says that Kol Nidre is not really Hataras Nedarim. Kol Nidre is rather a declaration of making that all future Nedarim, be a betolim of betolim, should be null and void. That isn't annulling a nether. What you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, is annul a nether, not make designations regarding the future. The Rivash has a different explanation. He says the purpose of saying Kol Nidre is that people during the year made Nedarim and they violated those Nedarim. And now, as Yom Kippur begins, we want to have those Nedarim annulled, so we should not have that Aveira on, we should have a Kapara for that Aveira. So now, since we're on Yom Kippur, where all of us need to have to come with a clean slate, so since we need to come into Yom Kippur with this clean slate, we're allowed to say that Taurus, we're allowed to say Kol Nidre to save ourselves from the Aveira of Nedarim, which of course is a very serious Aveira. So I saw that the Sefer Torah Rafal asks, that why is HaTorah not Osur? Because of Masakin. You're fixing this problem, particularly after the explanation that we just gave. So the Panovich Rav was asked this question, and he says, it goes back to what we discussed a moment ago. A husband that, when he is mefer the nether of his wife, or his daughter, as we've been explaining, it only goes towards the future. So he's being indeed doing a tikkun. He's being masakin that she doesn't have this issue anymore. But a rav that we explained is oika haneder mikara. It makes that there was never a neder at all. So that, he says, is not considered an act of masakin. We discussed earlier in our masechta that there's isser, obviously, a binyan in Shabbos. And the issue is also if one could close up a window shutter on Shabbos. So the loch is a paikikin, we could close up a window shutter. A paikikin is a mar, you could close up the window shutter on Shabbos, as we're going to learn the Gemara soon, to prevent tumah from entering the house. Or moider din as a matlis, you could measure the rag, if it has the shear of gimel or gimel atzbos, only when it has that shear does it have the ability to be mekabel tumah and transmit tumah. Or moider din as a mikvah, the halacha is that a mikvah has to have 40 saw. So even though medida is also on Shabbos, it's a uvda d'chol, it's a zilzil on Shabbos. Here, if you're doing it l'tzorich mitzvah, it's mutter. And the Mishnah concludes with an episode which the Gemara will explain. There was an episode in the time Reb Tzadik and Abishob and Botnes, Shapakukus Amor Betriach, that they closed up the window shutter with a barrel made out of cheres in order that Tumah should not be able to penetrate into the house. The Kashrus and Makeda, and there was a barrel that they put into a gemi, they put into a reed later to be able to tell they had a crack in it, and we'll see soon that they wanted to see if the crack, if it had a crack the size of tefach or not, because if we know something is on top of a mace, we have tumas oil, and the tumah spreads to all sides. However, if there's a crack of that in that oil the size of a tefach, then the tumah goes up and it doesn't spread to the sides. So they wanted to measure if there was a crack in that barrel the size of a tefach. And based on that episode, we were able to learn shapoikikin, we could close up the window if it's not a full-fledged binyan. Then we could do a medidah shemitzvah. The kashrim, if the kshira is not a kesher shel kayama, as we discussed when we learned the halachas of kshira, only a kesher shel kayama is also on Shabbos. If it's not a kesher shel kayama, it's mutter. And that's what happened over here. And all of this was done on Shabbos. Here we just learned that a medidah shel mitzvah is mutter on Shabbos. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Vav Sif Zayin, apparently in those days, when somebody was not well, when a child was not well, they used to measure his height, and that's considered a medida shel mitzvah. And therefore, the Mishnah Brewer there in Sif Katan Lamed Vav says that it's mutter, it's a medida shel mitzvah. And the issue that we've discussed so many times in our Masechta of Shchikas Amamonim, that one may not take a medicine on Shabbos, would not apply, he explains, because there's no food or drink as well. And therefore, Ramoshin, the Shas Achuvas, Igros Moshe, Erechaim, Chelik, Aleph, Simen, Kuf, Chav, Ches, says that one is allowed to take temperature on Shabbos. And he says, not only are you allowed to take the temperature on Shabbos, even if it's not a Chol Sheish by Sakana, it's still considered a Medida Shal Mitzvah, and it's Mutter. And so too was the psak of Rev Shlomo Zalman that it's not that this is not considered measuring in the way of doing business, and therefore it's mutter. Rav Volzner Zatzal in the Shalos Tshuvos Shevet Alevi Chelek Aleph Siman Samach Aleph discusses if women who have to take their temperature to know when they're ovulating, he says, may take their temperature on Shabbos. However, the Paiskim all say that even though you're allowed to take the temperature on Shabbos, but in the of course, we're always talking about the old-fashioned thermometers. The digital thermometers are usur, but even in the old-fashioned thermometers, one should only take their temperature if they need to, but they shouldn't shake it down unless they have to take the temperature again, because that's already not letzairich the chayla. So, our Mishnah taught us that we could be shayla and neder only if it's letzairich Shabbos. So the question is, ibayluhu, hafara bein letzairich bein shalei letzairich, that halach that when we're being shayla and neder to the Rav, it has to be letzairich Shabbos, is that only by hafara? Is that only by shaylus nadarim? But hafara could be bein letzorich bein shloy letzorich, whether it's letzorich Shabbos or not letzorich Shabbos. Shaylus letzorich in v'shloy letzorich loy. U'mishem hachi, and now we could understand miflegin ba'adadi why our Mishnah separated the halacha of hafaras nadarim from hataras nadarim. Adilma hafara nami hafara as well. When may hafara be done on Shabbos? Letzorich in, shloi letzorich loy. Only if it's letzorich Shabbos, but if it's not letzorich Shabbos, it may not be done on Shabbos. But if that's the case, so why v'had the kol poliglim adadi? Why did the Mishnah divide them into two categories? Mishum d'hafara, hafaras doesn't need a bezdin. Just the father or the husband do it themselves. Hatara can only be done, v'sheila, you have to have a bezdin. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Tani Zuti the Beira Papa, but fear in the Dorim B'Shabbos, the Tzarech Shabbos, you could be made for another only the Tzarech Shabbos. So clearly it seems to indicate the Tzarech Shabbos in, those you're allowed to have hafara, but if it's Shloi the Tzarech Shabbos Loi, it may not be done. However, says the Gemara, Lishnachrina, Iboiluhu, the Tzarech Atavayuk Tani, when the Mishnah said that it may only be done with Tzarech, it's talking both by hafara and hadara. For shloi letzorich loy, and shloi letzorich also may never be done. Why? Because there is a question. There is a din. The Torah says that when a father or a husband have the ability to be meif in the darim, it's b'yoyim shamay. They hear of the neder. And in fact, I saw the Paiskim suggest that if a woman, a daughter, a wife made such a neder, the best thing to do is try to avoid that they should hear the neder on Shabbos. Why is that the best? Because if they don't hear the neder on Shabbos, they'll only hear it on Sunday or whenever, so there won't be any question. But now, if they did hear it, and the halacha is b'yoyim shamay, so now the question is, what does b'yoyim shamay mean? Does b'yoyim shamay mean meis leis, you have 24 hours? So if the father, the husband, will hear the neder on Shabbos, they still have 24 hours from when they hear to be made for the neder. And therefore, he can't be made for it on Shabbos. When the Mishnah says that tzairich, it's only a shayla diktani. Going to the Rav is only mutter on Shabbos. Avla forest nedarim, afila shloila tzairich, you could do it on Shabbos. Alma, why? Because as far as the Dorim is Kol HaYoyim, you only have till tonight. And since the father only has till tonight, we have to do it on Shabbos because the clock will run out. So Rishonim ask, this halacha that a father, a husband, can be made for neder is not to exclude that they could also, that the woman could go to the Rav. So yes, the clock will run out. So what's the problem? Sunday, the father, the husband can't be made for neder. They'll go to the Rav, and he'll be matter the neder. So the Rishonim already asked this question, and the Rishonim explained that the husband, the father, the wife, the daughter, don't want to be embarrassed by needing to go to the Rav. And since they don't want to be embarrassed by going to the Rav, that's why they want to have a forest of Dorim and avoid that publicity. Toshma, the Tanner of Zutta Debei Rapapi, Mefir in the Dar, B'Shabbos, L'Tzarek HaShabbos. So we see, L'Tzarek HaShabbos in, Shloi L'Tzarek HaShabbos Loi. Alma, so we see from here that Afaras Nedarim is Meis Leis, and you'll have time after Shabbos. But the question is, maybe if the husband heard about it already Friday afternoon, then by the time 24 hours are up, it'll be already after Shabbos. So the Rashba says that usually that's not the case, and that's why it's not referred to by the Gemara. In fact, the Ramban and the Ran both say that if it's going to be a situation that the time will run out, that's not what the Gemara is discussing. Even if you have 24 hours, but if by Matzah Shabbos that time will expire, the Gemara will agree, everybody will agree you could be made for the nether. But usually, as the Rashba says, that's not the case. Then a first nadam can be done the whole day. V'yesh b'davar l'hokka l'hachmer. And that can be used as a kul as a chumra. Teitzer, nadr leil Shabbos. If a woman made a nether Friday night and her husband heard of it, made for leil Shabbos for yom Shabbos at shetachshev. So you had plenty of time to be made for the nether. But let's say nadrim v'chashaycha, she made the nether late Shabbos afternoon. Made for atch l'techshech. He could only be made for until Matzah Shabbos. Shem lo hefer m'shechechshev. If he won't do afar by then, ain't a yochalofa. He won't be able to do afar anymore because by the time the day ends, even though it was just a short time, he can't do afar anymore. So we see it's not 24 hours. Answers the Gemara Tanahi. It's actually Machlokes Tanahi. The Tanya Afaras Nedarim that the husband can make for neder kol hayoyim. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Imrim, Amru Meis Leis. It's 24 hours. We also learned from the Shalom Nedarim. You could go to the Rav to ask a Shaila. Ibailu, when does that halacha apply? Is it only kishalahayulam pnai when you couldn't have gone before Shabbos? So since you couldn't have gone before Shabbos, we allow you to go on Shabbos or afilahayulam pnai even if you had a chant. Tashma, does dikagel rabbanon or avzotim made rav zayiri? The rabbanon were matter neder on Shabbos, the sharle nidre, and were matter neder afal gav davale pnai where he could have done it before Shabbos. We learned in the Mishnah that there was an episode by the father of Rav Tzadik. And I actually saw that the Mefarshim say that sometimes children could be more prominent than their fathers. We see the Gemara speaks about the Avu, the Shmuel. And here too, the Aviv Shel Rav Tzadik, Rav Tzadik's father, he used to say that his greatness was that he was the father of Rav Tzadik. What was the story? It says the Gemara Hilketik Tana Haisa. There was a small pathway b'shnei batim between two homes. V'tumah Haisisham. V'gigas dukas m'dachas agabim. There was a person, the way the Farshim explained the Gemara, who was very ill, and he was about to die, and he was laying in that pathway that was between these two houses with open windows, and the concern was that if he'll die, there'll be tumas, and there was this barrel over the pathway. If he'll die, there'll be tumas oil, and if the windows are open, then the tuma will go into the two homes on the side. However, if the barrel was on top of that pathway where the person was lying had a crack the size of a tefach, then the tuma goes all the way up and it doesn't spread to the two sides. So the first thing that they did was close up those windows, because they weren't sure what is the status of that crack. Then, Upakulus Amir, Betfich. So they closed it up. There's a question, the Noida Behuda says, if by filling it up with an earthenware barrel, will it prevent from any tumma coming into the house? Or will it only prevent that certain tummas will not become tummy? That the oichlim and mashkin in the house will not become tamei. Maybe other things will become tamei. The kashrus makida, and then they put a string, and they did a kshira there, even though normally kshira is not mutter, but here was a kashrus shenas shakayama, and they measured leidem yesh begigas peseich tefach to see if the crack was the size of a tefach, because if it's the crack the size of a tefach, then there's no concern, as we just learned, of tumas oil. And the halacha is that the reason that it was allowed to be done was because it's a medida shel mitzvah. And as we discussed previously, a medida shel mitzvah is mutter to be done on Shabbos. And from that episode we learned, Ula says the Gemara, Ula ikla beirish galusa, Ula came to the home of Reish galusa, chazel Rav Rafuna de Yosbeg avna de Maya. He saw Rav Rafuna was sitting in a tub of water, the kamashachle, and he was measuring it. Amalei, so he said to him, yes, we were lenient about Medida. However, Eimah the Amar Rabbanan, where were the Rabbanan lenient? But Medida the mitzvah, the lav mitzvah, but here you're just measuring the amount of water in this tub. Are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? Me, Omer, is that permitted? Omerlei mis'asik ba'almahana. I'm just being a mis'asik, and a mis'asik is motor. So many Rishonim explain that we've learned mis'asik throughout Shas. And usually the definition in our Masechta we discussed mis'asik. The case of mis'asik is usually with son that he's working with something which is mutter. He thought that the vegetable was disconnected and he picked it up and it turned out to be connected to the ground. So the question is that the mis'asik that is being discussed in this Gemara as well? There's some that say that that's the mis'asik as well. Others say that that's not the mis'asik here. Mis'asik that's being discussed here is that what I'm doing really didn't mean to do anything. I was just spending my time doing it. And it's aimed by Tzorich. And therefore, I was doing it, as the Ben Yoyad explains, you're not allowed to think the Rei Torah in a bathhouse. And he was concerned that he was going to think the Rei Torah there. So that's why he did this. But it didn't mean in any way to do anything at all. What's the nafkamina? Because we discussed previously if mis'asik is considered an aveira or not. If we'll explain the mis'asik in our Gemara is the typical definition of mis'asik, we'll have a raya that mis'asik is not considered an aveira at all. But if we will understand mis'asik in our Gemara to mean that it's not the regular case of mis'asik. He was just, as we said, trying to pass the time. And therefore, if you're just trying to pass the time, it has nothing to do with the question of mis'asik that we have throughout Shas. That may be an aveira, but this wouldn't even be considered an aveira. It would be considered completely mutter.